Well, it was a wonderful time, and what a privilege to be able to share that with the family. And thank you for allowing us to share that, and thank you, Pastor, for your message. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Bless you. Let's just pray. Father, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's so good to celebrate these things, and it's so good to be able to see this new life, or this young little baby, dedicated to you this morning. So we thank you for that. Now, Father, I just pray that the words that are spoken will be not words with human wisdom, but with a demonstration of your Spirit and with power, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night for various reasons. But I woke up the other night and I had this phrase come into my mind. And that always worries me when I get this phrase, because I think, oh, what's God going to do now? And the phrase was, I remember when. And I thought, what's all this about? So it kept coming to my mind and I kept thinking, I remember when I was asleep. I'd like to go back to sleep. So I said, Lord, well, okay, I'll remember it in the morning. The next morning I thought, well, I'll see what happens. And I woke up and I remember when came into my mind. And I thought, oh, okay. So as I was sitting down that morning and just thinking and praying, and I just started thinking, well, I remember when. And it brought back all memories. I was starting to think of the memories. And I'm sure we've all got lots of memories. Some, a lot of good memories, I hope, and some, perhaps some bad memories. And I was thinking, what sort of memories, what are the memories, what do I remember? Apart from the fact that when I became a Christian, which is 70-odd years ago, and when I was filled with the Holy Spirit about 26 years ago, I was thinking, what are the other things I remember? You know, when you get halfway through your life, you've got a lot of memories. So I thought, well, you know, I better start remembering them before I get on to the next half of my life. Moving right along. So I started thinking of the things I remembered. I remembered sitting up in bed watching Neil Armstrong jump onto the moon. And I remembered, went back as far as remembering World War II. And I can remember sitting under the stairs with my mother because there was an air raid warning. And we were sitting under the stairs and I remember afterwards, a few years later, thinking, that was a rather silly place because we were sitting on a gas meter, which was not a good place to be around when there was an air raid coming on. And I can remember all sorts of things like the colour television and the first television and all this sort of stuff. It's showing my age a little bit here, so I'm not worried about that. And things come on the television, you see it, and you remember them. We saw there was a programme on the television talking about Prince Philip and how about he was at Royal Naval College, Dartmouth. And Dinah and I looked at each other and said, wow, do you remember that? And Dinah remembers Royal Naval College, Dartmouth, because she used to walk past it every day, every week, on the way to play sport. And I used to go down there to play squash against the officers and the midshipmen. And it's just these little memories come into your mind. And it's really good to look back at these things. It's good to have these memories to look back on. I remember my dear father-in-law, he was bedridden for years at the end of his life. And he always used to say, I am so pleased that I went to this place and that place, and I've got these photographs and I've got these lovely memories I can remember, even though I can't move from this bed now. And of course, there are some bad memories, and we've got to admit that. There are some bad memories which we want to forget about. And some of those we need to deal with and get rid of and don't dwell on them. But God has some thoughts on memories. He has some thoughts on memories. And I thought we'd just have a look this morning. And I'm going to read a passage now, if Ros can get that up on there. It's from Isaiah 43, verses 15 to 20. And that reads as follows. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. Now that verse appears to say, God is saying, hey, forget the former things, forget all your memories. I believe the passage actually means, don't dwell on those former things. What he's actually telling the children of Israel is, hey, I did all these wonderful things for you, but don't dwell on them. Just don't keep looking back at those things, because what I'm going to do now, this new thing I'm going to do for you, is even better. All those things will pale into insignificance if you let me do it for you. And he said, don't wipe them from your memory, but just look for the future. Because when we look at things from the past and we dwell on them, they can become idols. We can keep hanging on to those things. We won't let go of them. They're idols. And they stop us moving on. They will stop us doing things, stop us changing, because we keep thinking, oh, that's... What's the six words that stop change? We've always done it this way. They're the six words which stop us moving on at times. And we need to stop thinking about those things and just consider what God is doing. And he's saying there, I'm doing a new thing, and that's going to be better than anything before. Better than anything before I've ever done. God is always moving forward. God is not stagnating. God is always moving forward. He's always wanting us to move forward. He's always wanting us to grow in our relationship with him. He's always wanting us to grow deeper with him and to do the things that he wants us to do. Step out in faith and do new things. Learn and move on. Now I want to talk this morning just about, I think it's three new things that God is doing or has done. Some of these you might think, well, we know all about these. Maybe you've done some of them. But I think it's always good to reflect on these things, look back at what our faith is, and just see, are we still doing what we started? The first new thing I want to look at is we have a new start. We have a new start. How often do we wish we could start again? How often have we done something and we think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? Or we said something and thought, oh, I wish I could take that back and say something different. But we can have a new start. And many of us already had that new start. And that new start comes by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That new start comes by salvation, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, accepting the forgiveness that he gave us on the cross through what he did on the cross. And saying and repenting and saying, I'm sorry for all the things we've done. And asking him to come and accept that forgiveness, asking him to come and take control of our lives. John 3:15 says, everyone who believes in him will be saved. That means everyone who accepts what he did and who he is will be saved. And that gives us that new start in life. A new relationship with God. A new relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 says, verse 22 says, let's come near God with pure hearts and a confidence that comes from having faith. Let's keep our hearts pure, our consciences free from evil, and our bodies washed with clean water. When we come to that new start with Jesus, the slate, or if you like in modern terms, the whiteboard or whatever it is, or the computer, is wiped clean of all the things that we did in the past. He forgives us for all those things. The slate is wiped clean. And John 1 John 5, it says, he who has the Son has life. We've come into a new life, a new start in our life, which is everlasting life, something which is going to last forever. We don't have to worry about death anymore, because we know where we're going. We have a hope. And we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and we will be with him when we die. And that's a new start in our life that we have when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And it also gives us an abundant life. The new start gives us an abundant life. It says in the Bible that Jesus said, I have come you might have life and have it more abundantly or to the full. And that means a super abundance. It doesn't mean just a small amount. It means an overwhelming. We can't even think about the abundant life that he gives us. And that's absolutely amazing. I just think that's incredible. That God will give us that wonderful, abundant life if we will only allow that new start. Take that step and accept him into our lives and let him cleanse us from all those things that we've done in the past. Does that mean we Does that mean we're completely free? It means we're free from the past. We do sin. We do things wrong. But we, because of what he did on the cross, we can just go back to him and say, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And we are forgiven again. The slate is wiped clean again. So that's the new start that he gives us. A wonderful thing to have a new start. And I'm sure if you've been in a new job, it's good to have a new start sometimes. But this is even more important and a most wonderful thing to do. And the second thing I want to talk about is we become a new person. We can become a new person. That's another new thing that God gives us. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, if we become a new person, we're going to look better. Change our looks. Or we're going to get taller or shorter or whatever. It doesn't mean it's anything to do physically. Our height. And I'm reminded of a story of a woman who had a heart attack. And she ended up in hospital. And when she was laying in the bed there in hospital trying to recover, just after the heart attack, she had what I think people call a near-death experience. And she believed that she had this experience, and she spoke to God. And she said to God, is this it then? And God said, no, I'm giving you another 30 years. And she thought, that's good. So anyway, the near-death experience finished, and she recovered. And when she recovered, she remembered. Oh, God said, I'm going to have another 30 years of life. So she thought, well, I might as well make the most of this. So she said, no, don't take me out of hospital. I just want to, I'm going to have a few operations. So she had a facelift. And she had a tummy tuck. And she had liposuction. And she had every augmentation surgery she could think of. And then finally, she changed the color of her hair completely, style and color of her hair. And she, when this was all finished, she thought, wow, I'm a new person here. And she walked out of the hospital, crossed the road. As she crossed the road, an ambulance came along and hit her and killed her. And when she got to heaven, she said to God, I thought you said I had another 30 years. He said, yes, I did, but I didn't recognize you. That's not the sort of new person that God gives us when we become a Christian. We don't become a new person. It's a bit more than that. It's the way we live. We become a new person in the way we live. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. So we're a new creation, and a creation is something which is founded, established, something new is established. And we're told that we've got to work at this. It's not something that actually just, it happens. It does happen because we're made a new creation, but we're transformed. Romans 12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Change the way we think. That's important. When we become a Christian, when we've got this new person, we become the new person, we need to think differently. We need to think God's ways, not our ways. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into his ways, not our ways. Because I believe thoughts are what causes our actions. If we think of something, we do it. Now we've got to be careful that we don't conform, as it says there, to the old ways. Our mind needs to be changed so that we'll do things God's way. And Ephesians 4 says, put off the old man. Put off the old man. Just put away, forget it. Get rid of it. Be a new person. And that's a commitment on our part. We've got to consciously put off that old man. We've got to be willing to make that commitment. Yes, I am going to put off that old man. I'm going to put that old man away. I don't want it anymore. And then it goes on in Galatians to say, put on Christ, which means put on his opinions, his sentiments, his ways, his character, his love, and copy his ways, not man's ways. That's putting on Christ. That's putting on Jesus. And that's the new person we become. It's just like putting on new clothes. It's just like putting on new clothes. When we dress up in something new, we become, if we say put on fancy dress, we almost become the person. You know, if you've ever been, I'm sure, who's been to fancy dress parties? Oh, a few of you, that's good. Oh, you're stepping out, it's good. Pleased to see that. Years ago, I remember we went to a fancy dress party, which was somebody's, I don't know what, 25th birthday. 21st, okay. Diana tells me 21st birthday party. And I decided I'd go as the Phantom of the Opera. And I can remember driving up the road here, Warrigal Road, and I had the cloak on, and I had half of my face painted white, and the other half was normal. And I was going up the road saying, please don't let me stop. Please don't let the police stop me for breath test. Please. I just thought, what are they going to think if they see the Phantom driving a car? They're going to think I'm a bit weird. Well, I probably was. But when we dress up, we try and assume the character of the person. We try and behave like it so as it becomes real. So if we're going to become like Jesus, we've got to assume the persona of Jesus, doing the things that he wants, living the way he wants, taking on his character. And Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Being a new person means we're God's children. We become a child of God. God is our Father. Can you think of that? God is our Father. And we can, it tells in the scriptures, it says we can call him Abba, which I believe the nearest translation to that is Daddy. So that's how intimate we can be with our Father. God who made the universe, God who controls the universe, he is our Father. I just think that's amazing. That's mind-blowing that we can say that. God is my Father. We are his children. And the third thing is, I believe we get a new way of life. A new way of life. That's what the new thing that God is giving us and has given us and is giving us. And it's okay to start as a new person, but if we want this new life, how do we do this new life? And in Isaiah 44 verse 3, which is going on a little bit further, says, I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your children. That's what Jesus says, that God says later on in Isaiah. He's going to pour out his spirit on our descendants and my blessing on your children. But he looks after us physically. He's saying, I will pour water to quench your thirst and irrigate your fields. He will look after us physically. But he also says, I'm going to give you a spiritual way of letting you live this new way of life. Jeremiah 29 says, and we heard it this morning, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's what the Bible says, that God has plans for each one of our lives. And each one of those lives, each one of those plans is good. They're good. Plans for good and not a disaster, to give you future and a hope. And you might say, well, that's all very well, but it doesn't seem to work. Where are these plans? Where are these hopes? Where are these futures? It doesn't seem to be working at the moment. God, and then further on in that chapter, verse Jeremiah 29, that was verse 11, verse 13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. What it means is we just can't so say, okay, God's got a plan for me, fine, let's go on and do what we want to do. We've got to look for him. We've got to live the life and let God then give us the plan. Let the plan he's got in place to take part in our lives. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, he will guide us in that plan. He will take us along that pathway that God wants. And it will be a plan that gives us a hope and a future, not a disaster, as it's said in here, to give us a future and a hope. Our action is needed, and that action is to allow God to control our lives. Ezekiel 20:36 says, I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. And that's the point. Our hearts have got to be God-willed, not self-willed. Not living the way we want to, but living the way that God wants. Living in God's will, not our own will. Yes, he gives us a free will, and we can choose. We can choose, do we live in God's way, or do we live in our way? Living God's way gives us that plan, enables us to live that plan. That's how we live the new life. God's way in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so he can help us live his way, in every way. Apostle Paul said, live and walk in the Spirit. He didn't say that just to be interesting. He meant it, live and walk in the Spirit. Because that way we're walking God's way. That way we're doing what God wants us to do, and we're fulfilling God's plan for our lives. Because we're just listening to what he tells us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And living that new way means we actually become supernatural. We actually become supernatural because we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is supernatural. When we're doing his way, we're living that way. That's what it means. What somebody said once, the supernatural becomes natural. We should be naturally supernatural as Christians. It's important. And why should we live that way? Because it gives us boldness and strength. When we live that way, it gives us boldness and strength. 2 Timothy says, we haven't got a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We don't need to be afraid, because God has given us this spirit of boldness if we will accept it and allow him to drive our lives. And we've quoted very frequently Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, I love the version which is a contemporary English version, says, Christ gives me the strength to face everything. God gives me the strength to face everything. Not only can we do anything, but we can face everything. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean we're going to have a bed of life as a bed of roses. Doesn't mean everything is going to be absolutely fine and dandy and nothing's going to go wrong. That doesn't mean it. We're going to be persecuted. We've got to be prepared to be persecuted. Persecuted for our faith. And I believe nowadays things are hotting up. You see what's happening around the place. All these laws which are coming in, trying to stop us being faithful, trying to stop us speaking what God's truth is. Now, you can't disagree with someone, or else you've got a phobia. You're a phobic or phobic. I often think that people who sort of speak against the Christian faith should be called Christianophobics. But anything you speak against, you become a phobic. And we're going to be laughed at. We're going to be laughed at because of what we're saying. There's people nowadays who are being persecuted, not necessarily physically in Australia, but mentally and emotionally because they're speaking out for Jesus. They're losing their jobs because they're speaking out for Jesus. They're speaking the truth of the Word of God. They're losing their jobs. That's being persecuted. So it's not a bed of roses, but God gives us the strength to see through these things. God enables us to get through all these things that will come upon us. I look at it like this. I believe that if we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit and he's given us that strength, we're living a life with a glass half full, not a life which the glass is half empty. We're seeing God's power helping us. And I would urge you, if you've never allowed, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power this morning, because your life will be taken over by God, and he will have control and enable you to live that perfect life. And he gives us that. With that perfect life, we get a new expectation. We get this great new expectation. We can expect God to hear us. We can expect God to do miracles. Do you expect God to do a miracle? I do. I've seen it, and he does it. Expect God to guide us. Expect God to speak to us. Have great expectations. Great expectations. I read somewhere the reason God doesn't do anything is because we limit it. We don't have the expectations he will do things. We need to expect God to do amazing things in our lives and in the people we come into contact with. But we have to change. We have to allow God to control us. And I saw a quote which said, you may be expecting some fantastic change. It won't happen unless you change. You may be expecting some fantastic change, but it won't happen unless you change. And that's a very important thing to remember. On this morning when we've celebrated a new life, 8 weeks ago, when we celebrated that, God has done a new thing this morning. Great. But let's make sure this morning that we have a new start today. Let's reflect. Are you the new person that God wants you to be? Are you living the new life his way? If you're finding it hard this morning, will you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power and love? Today? Will you allow him to control your life? Today? Will you receive him as your Lord and Savior today if you've never done that? You've never come to this new start. Guys, let's don't live in the past, but let's live in the new thing that God has promised. He's promised amazing things. So let's live in that new thing. In Jesus' name. Let's all pray. If this morning you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just urge you to think about it. Think about that new start you can have in life. Or if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I just invite you again to think about that. Maybe there are things in the past that you're hanging on to. Things which are hurting you. Things which are causing you a lot of problems today. Or you just need some healing. I just invite you afterwards to come and sit down in the front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. So I believe God can set you free and can release you this morning and fill you with his power and bring you into that new start of life. So Father, we thank you that you are doing a new thing. Thank you that you've promised you'd do a new thing. We thank you that if we reach out and accept that, you will guide our lives in everything. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for guiding our lives and strengthening us and protecting us in all we do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mia's going to... Oh, she's